Take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 84. We're going to read verse 5 down through verse 7. I am blessed. That's our series. It's been good to remind ourselves of how blessed we truly are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessings that God supplies to us each and every day. Amen. Blessings that this world cannot take away. No matter how bad the economy gets or whatever, we are still a blessed people. Psalm 84 and verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to spend time in your word. And Lord, we ask that you would help us this evening, help us to understand it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We always say that we don't know exactly how much we have until we move, right? Until we have to go through that process of packing everything up. And then it's like, where did I get all of this junk, right? Like, I don't know where it comes from, but it's, you know, it's in every nook and corner of your house. And then you, like, have to put it in boxes, and you have to carry every single piece out to the moving truck or whatever to get it to the next spot. And it's like you just don't realize. And I think every time we've moved, we said, we need to get rid of some of this. You know, like, what can we get rid of? And then you start looking at it and go, well, if I get rid of this, I got to buy it again at some point, right? If I get rid of things, it probably means, and I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that this doesn't apply to, but you know, you look at stuff and go, well, if I get rid of this, it just means I'm going to have to spend money to buy it again in 3 months, right? If I throw it out, I will have to buy it again. And so I just keep it and I store it in some place and then, you know, the storage fills up. And there are some things that, though, we use pretty randomly. Like every once in a while, we'll pull something out and have to use it and then we put it back and don't use it again for some period of time. Then there's other things, though, that like we use those every single day. And if those things went missing, like if somebody moved those or put it in the wrong spot, we would realize it pretty quickly, right? I hope your toothbrush is one of those, right? If it was gone, I hope you'd realize it within a couple days at the most, right? Hopefully before then. I use an iron a lot, you know, to iron my clothes. If that went missing, I would realize within a day or two, you know. I'm not exactly proud of that I iron that much, but it is what it is. And then like your vehicle, right? If your vehicle was gone, you'd realize that pretty quick, right? It wouldn't take very long before you would look out at the driveway and go, where's my car? And there's a lot of things like that, right? That if they went missing, you'd realize pretty quickly that they were gone because they're there to meet a real specific need, right? There's a specific need in your life that these items meet, right? There's a hole in your life that they fill and they take care of something, and it's a pretty significant need that you have, right? A very consistent need. And I want to look at the blessing of strength tonight as something that fills this very specific need that we have. And it's not a real sporadic need, but it's a very consistent need that we have. The blessing of strength, God's strength, He gives to us, and it's there to make up for our inability and our insufficiency. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, I love the contrast that's here in this chapter and in this passage. That's a very familiar passage, but I love the contrast between God's strength and our weakness. So Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we have these two contrast. We have the strength of God, the creator of the world, who doesn't faint, is never weary, and then we have us, who even in our youth, right, even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, even like in our prime. We still are weak and weary, and we faint and we fall. But then there is in verse 31, those two come together, right? There is us when we wait upon the Lord. We shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. I love that because that's what we're talking about, that blessing of strength. Strength is the ability to resist or overcome an opposing force. It's the ability to resist or overcome an opposing force. Now, there's a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about God's strength apply to us and what it does for us. And we're not going to take time to go through all of these. I'll just mention them. Psalm 27 in verse 14, it mentions the strength of God that gives us courage. Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, we find that God gives strength to the apostles for them to specifically be able to witness. And it's really in the face of that persecution. Also in Acts chapter 4, it talks about that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, strength to fight temptation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, God gives us strength to be patient and long-suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, strength for boldness. And then Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, strength to be faithful. And that's just the verses that mention specifically God's strength to do these things. We look at it and we say it's such a broad category of things that God provides to us by his strength. It's always strength to do this, strength to be this, and really it's strength to do everything and strength to be everything God wants us to do. It's God's strength that gives us that ability to overcome and resist. And we know that everything good that God wants for us, whether it's good that God wants us to do or good that God wants us to be, there is always resistance to those. Haven't we found that to be true? Seems like no matter what it is, Satan or our flesh does not give us a pass on it. It's not like he says, I'll let you do that. I'll let you go on that. Every single time, it's like there's this struggle or this fight. And so we need that strength that God provides, strength to overcome or to resist those things. And so everything that we do has to be done in dependence on God, right? Trusting in God for his strength. Because we're held to a higher criteria than to just get things done or to just to look like we're getting things done. Because we can do that. We can do that in our flesh and in our own strength. You know how this is, right? We can go about our life and we can look like a good Christian and we can do the acts that a good Christian does. We can say the things that a good Christian should say. We can go to church in the power of our own flesh. We can do all of these sorts of things, but we're held to a higher criteria. We're supposed to do those things by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ to do those things through us, trusting Christ to enable us for those things. It's not just that we get things done or we look a certain way. It's that we do them by faith in Jesus Christ. And we know Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And really, we could say, I can do all things right. I can do all things correctly. I can do all things in a way that pleases God through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can and we have to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It cannot be on our own. And so tonight, as we look at this blessing of the strength that God gives to us, I want to see two ways that God's strength is obtained. Right, two ways that we are able to utilize and find God's strength actually applied to us, to our lives, day by day. The first I want to see is in Psalm 86. So if you go over there with me, Psalm 86, it's through prayer, the prayer for strength. Psalm 86 in verse 16, David says this to the Lord. He says, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. And then he prays this, give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. That was David's prayer. Give thy strength unto thy servant. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 138 in verse 3, it says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. And then we know Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul says, one of his requests for that church was that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And it's in those, in times of difficulty in our life, in times when we're especially aware of our own insufficiency, that we cry out to the Lord. We say, Lord, I need Your strength. I am not able. I cannot do this. So we simply pray and we ask the Lord for His strength, and He gives us that strength. And so God gives strength as an answer to prayer. But here's what I want to get to really this evening. Because we need God's strength in every single thing that we do, it doesn't make sense for us to think about God's strength as only being an answer to prayer, as God only giving strength to us when we pray. Because there are so many things we would need to pray about. It would need to be that we pray about every single thing, and for every single thing in our life, ask for God's strength. Rather, the blessing of God's strength is something that is always provided for us as we walk closely to God. Now, I'm not saying that we should never pray for strength. It's very beneficial for us to pray and ask specifically for God's strength. One major reason is that it reminds us that we are dependent on God. So I'm not saying don't pray, but I'm saying that we shouldn't think about strength that God gives to us as only something that is given when we specifically pray for that specific request. But rather, it's something that God provides constantly for us as we walk with Him. So, for example, if I could illustrate it this way. If I come over to your house for supper, right? I'm still waiting for invitations. No, I'm just kidding. So, if I come over for your house for supper, and we sit down for supper, and you put the plate of food in front of me, and I've got my utensils there, and we pray for the food, and so I look at you after we pray, and I said, can I use this fork for my supper? And you say, yep, that's your fork. We put it right by your plate. You go ahead and use that fork. So I pick up that fork, and I say, can I poke this piece of broccoli with my fork? And you say, yes, you can poke that piece of broccoli. So I do that, and I eat the broccoli, and then I say, another question. Can I poke that piece of broccoli? And you're like, yeah, you can poke that. So I do that over and over. And then I'm like, you're like, stop. You don't have to ask for every single thing, right? That fork is provided there for you to use all the time. Now, that's your fork, right? I don't take it home with me. It's something I use as long as I am with you, right? As long as I am in your house. And that's how I want us to see the blessing of strength tonight. Yes, it is something that God gives in specific answer to prayer, and it's good for us to pray and ask God for strength. But that cannot be the only time we think we can have strength, is when we specifically ask for that. Rather, it is a blessing that God gives to those that are with Him. And I want us to see strength as a blessing that comes continually, constantly in our life from walking closely with God. So now let's go back to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And so this is the second way, right? There's the prayer for strength. We pray and God provides strength. But also, number two, there is the place of strength. The place of strength. And this is what we see in Psalm 84. We only read starting in verse 5 through 7, but I want us to go back and look at the beginning of this psalm. It's very interesting how it starts. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. This psalm is assumed by some to be written by David, but it's not definite. Now, we do know that it was written pre-temple era, right, when Solomon built the temple, because it talks about the tabernacles in verse 1. And this opening verses, the first four verses, the opening third of this psalm, express the psalmist's deep desire to be in the presence of God, right, in the tabernacle, to be there. And he starts just by saying, how amiable, how lovely, how beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Tabernacles in the plural, probably meaning that there were the two rooms, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, right? Those two rooms, it's probably a reference to that. But he's picturing and saying, how beautiful are your tabernacles? Now, in the way that God had the tabernacle designed and built, it was made to be beautiful. There were so many beautiful pieces that were there, and the tapestry and all the way the tabernacle was built, it was built to be a beautiful place. But as we read further in the Psalm, we understand that the beauty that he's talking about isn't just what it looks like, it's the fact that God was there. And that they were able to go into the presence of God and be there. That's the main beauty of the tabernacle. And so he says in verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." He expresses his longing to be there, to be in the courts of the Lord. And he used the word that my soul fainteth for the courts of the Lord. The word fainted, that's a word of weakness. It means to be exhausted, to be spent, that there's nothing left. And he says, that's how I am when I'm apart from that, from the presence of God. This weakness that he was experiencing. And he says, my soul fainteth to be with in the courts of the Lord. And then he says, my flesh crieth out for the living God. So he makes it clear. It's not just the place. Right? It is the person that dwells there, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the desire. So then he goes on in verse 3, and he says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." And now he weaves in this picture of a bird, a sparrow that's there, again, not a strong bird, right? Like a weak bird that is there, but has been able to make her nest, her dwelling place, right there by the altar of the Lord in the tabernacle. Have you ever been jealous of a sparrow? I mean, maybe the fact that they can fly, but that's pretty much it. I don't want to eat what they eat. I don't want to live outside, right? Maybe flying, but it's almost like the psalmist is like, I wish I could be that. I wish that I could just live right there. They couldn't live in the tabernacle. Nobody lived in the tabernacle. That was God's dwelling place. But there were, you think about the priests. They were able to be there so much of their day and spend so much of their time there in the presence of God. About people that lived maybe in Jerusalem, right? When the tabernacle was there and then the temple and were just able to be close to the presence of God in that place. And just the joy. And he talks in verse 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee." And I think we take away a couple insights about the author. And number one is that they've been there, right? They've been in the presence of God before. They know what that is like. They know what that experience is. And then number two, they really want to go back there. They really are desiring to be back at the tabernacle, back in the presence of God. And that's what they express in verse 4. "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee." The joy and the praise that is, he imagines, is constantly there with someone that can be there constantly, living in the presence of God. The rejoicing, the praise, the joy, the blessing that is there. And then he turns to verse 5. And he says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The person that knows that their strength is found in God. And this reminds me of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3 in the Beatitudes. One of those, Jesus Christ says, is blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor being someone who has a real understanding of their need and their inability to meet that need, right? They are poor and they know that. They know that they can't supply the things that they need for themselves. And so they're willing to then go to someone else for help. And the poor in spirit are those that go to God for help. They understand their need. And so they say, the only answer to that is to find strength in God. And the opposite of poor in spirit isn't rich in spirit. It's proud, in spirit. Those that are poor in spirit and those that are proud. Those that are completely self-sufficient. And they say, I am fine on my own. I do not need God. But the Bible says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, that understand how much and how constantly they need God for every single thing. And that's what he's saying in Psalm 84 and verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the person that understands that the only strength they have is found in God. There is no shred of thought that they are fine in and of themselves, that they can go through life doing everything themselves. They're fine on their own. Blessed is the person who looks at God and says, all my strength, any strength I could have, is in God. But then he ends verse 5 this way. In whose heart are the ways of them? The ways of them. The ways of the tabernacle, or the path, the road to the tabernacle. Those ways, that direction is in his heart. It's the person whose heart is consumed with going to God, being in the presence of God, dwelling in the presence of God. And all that he mentioned in verses 1 through 4, that passion, that obsession that's there, that addiction to the presence of God and living with God, all of that, he says that's the person who's blessed, who knows that his strength, it's in God. And in his heart are the ways of them, the ways of going to God, the ways of walking with God, living with God, dwelling with God. I want us to go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. This is a psalm of David, and I think he expresses that desire. In Psalm 63, he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And David says, that's my desire. That's what I want more than anything. Early will I seek thee so that I can know your power, the power that I've seen, that I've experienced. He says, that's what I want to know. Blessed are those whose strength is in God, and in whose heart are the ways of them. I wonder what ways are in our heart. I wonder what direction we're heading, right? What's our goal? What's the thing that we're desiring, that we're really, our feet are pointed toward? For the Christian, it should be the presence of God. It should be knowing God and walking with God, living with God. That should be what's deep in our heart. That's the ways that should be there. And we are blessed as Christians to be able to dwell in the presence of God. We think back to Israel and the tabernacle that they had and the temple and that they had to go there to worship God in so many ways. And we look now and say, we can dwell in the presence of God. We don't have to be here within these four walls and in these pews to worship God and to dwell in the presence of God. As much as this place is a blessing and it's nice to come here as a church and we need to gather together as a church, as God has commanded us to, we can also, as we go from here and live our daily life, live in the presence of God and to really know God personally, communion with God, fellowship with God. And we need to live our life in the beginning of Psalm 84, where that's the passion of our heart. Our desire is to know God and to walk with God, to be able to stay there every moment of every day, not being content with walking with God for part of our day or for a time here or there or a little moment within the week, but constantly, continually to dwell there like a sparrow that's made her nest in the presence of God. That should be our desire, that our hearts would constantly be in constant contact and communication and communion, fellowship with God. That needs to be our desire. And that is the place of strength. The place of constant strength is when we are in the presence of God, walking with Him. When we are right with God, communing with God, that's the place of strength, where God's strength is constantly being supplied to us for every moment, every small instance of every single day. That's the place where we find the enabling of God. And I want to close by looking at verse 6 and 7. He's talking about the ways of them in verse 5. He's talking about that journey to Jerusalem, that journey to the tabernacle and later the temple. He says in verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. It's speaking about a dry part that has, that according to commentators, they would, in that valley, they would dig some wells and there would be water there for the dryness as they go through. But I wanted to come to verse 7. It says, they, in whose heart are the ways of them, those people, the people who know that their strength is in God, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. Now, the other option is to go to, from weakness to weakness, or as we do many times, from strength to weakness. Back to strength, back to weakness, then to some strength, and then to times of weakness. Those who dwell in the presence of God, they go from strength to strength. If you remember back in Judges chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. An angel appears to a woman, the wife of Manoah, and announces that she is going to have a son, Samson. And God was going to raise up Samson to deliver the Philistines, to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And God had this amazing work for Samson to do, and God was going to enable Samson to do this. And Samson is this great picture of God's strength being applied to a person's life. But if we were to view Samson's life from a distance, we would pretty clearly see two distinct times in Samson's life. And there is the majority of his life where he is victorious, and he goes from strength to strength, an amazing displays of God's power upon him, where he fights full armies of the Philistines, and he walks away with the gates of a city, and he just displays how powerful God is and how great a life can be when that strength is applied to an individual. Now, there is much to not be admired in Samson's life. Samson did a lot of things wrong, and he took a lot of things for granted. But that first part of his life is going from strength to strength because of God. And then we know the ending, right, where he falls for Delilah's tricks there. And then we have this time of weakness in Samson's life where he's made to grind in the mill. And then he has this moment, though, where he's brought out to be ridiculed and mocked by the Philistines. And what does he do? He prays for strength. And God answers that prayer. God answers our prayer. When we pray and say, Lord, I need you, I need your strength, God answers. And Samson is able to push the pillars apart and the roof collapses and there's this victory over the Philistines by the strength of God. But there's these two different times in Samson's life. There's the beginning of his life where he goes from strength to strength. And God shows the strength that he's able to provide. But there's in the end of his life where he goes from weakness to strength. He starts in strength, he goes to weakness through his sin, and then back to strength. And I wonder if that's more of our experience, where we go from strength to times of weakness, and then we pray, and God supplies strength, but then we walk away from the presence of God, and we go back to living in weakness. And then we remember that we need God's strength. And so we pray, and we ask God, and God gives his strength, and that's the way our life goes, from strength to weakness. And then back to strength when we remember, and then we go right back to living by ourselves and living on our own and back to a life of weakness. And it's good for us to have those times where we get right with God and we confess our sin and we pray and ask for strength, but that is not the ideal, to go from strength to weakness to strength to weakness. Those, blessed are the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them, because those people go from strength to strength to strength to strength. That's the way God wants us to live. And you know, we can take both of these and we can combine them. We can live in the presence of God. We can be in the place of strength and still pray for strength. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be that we live with both of those. But we are so blessed as Christians to have the strength of God, that God didn't look at us and say, okay, do all of this, be all of this. And then he went, you're on your own. Figure it out. You do it. I've helped you get to this point. I've given you what you're supposed to do, and now you are on your own. because we would fail miserably every single day. There would never be strength. We would go from weakness to weakness. But God has said, I am here to enable you, to give you all that you need. We go back to that list we talked about at the beginning. How many of us need patience every single day and long suffering? All of us do. And God says, okay, why don't you go from strength to strength? Strength for long suffering, to strength for patience, to strength for kindness, to strength for witnessing, for strength for boldness, from strength to strength to strength in our life. That happens when we walk with God, when we dwell in the presence of God, where our life is one of communion with God. Not just like in those specific intense times of our devotions, reading our Bible and praying, but then we take those and we take the presence of God with us throughout our life. Or we just interact with God throughout our day. We have a real sense that God is right here with us, that we can just think about God and talk to God and dwell on who God is and live with God. That's the life that God wants for us. That's the life that's blessed with strength to strength to strength. And I'm so thankful for that blessing of God. I'm thankful that we can, as Christians, look at who God is and what God wants to do for us and simply say, I am blessed. I'm blessed with God's strength. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You are so good to us. You've given us so much. And Lord, you can do so much in our lives. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to walk with you, that our life would be one of desiring your presence and desiring to know you and to commune with you and to fellowship with you, not just in different times throughout our day or our week, but constantly living with you. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us for all that we have to do, for all that you require of us and you ask of us. May we not try and do that on our own, but may we truly depend upon you for every single moment and every single part of our life. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.